Right, everyone, open this meeting. Today is February 12th, 2014, and this is the Subcommittee on Public Safety of the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Today, we are going to, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 5032, the Oregon Military Department budget, and we are going to have some public hearings, public testimony. So Patrick Stupfel, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Come on up. Ralph Groner, you're next.
Yep.
Do you want to come on up? Take your time.
Yeah, I need to make sure.
And don't forget to identify yourself for the record.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Chair Williamson and Co-Chair Shields. Thank you for the opportunity to have me testify this afternoon. My name is Patrick Stupfel, for the record. I'm the former student body president of Portland Community College Southeast Campus, as well as a current member of the Citizens Budget Review Committee for the Portland Public School District. I come before you today to lobby for the Oregon Youth Challenge Program. I apologize, the article that you have in front of you today is rather dated. It's when I was interning in the legislature in 2013, but it still holds relevance. And
that's
it,
okay.
I remember that.
I believe it shines as a perfect example as why the Youth Challenge Program definitely deserves to be expanded tenfold. I understand that the budget being how it is, there's never enough money in the pie to go around, but this is a program that truly does change lives. So I just wanted to briefly talk about myself. Excuse me for humble bragging, if I may.
You may.
But a couple years ago, I was a high school dropout with 5 credits to my name when I was 18 years old. I was on a path of kind of self-destruction. I was hanging out with the wrong kids at the time, and it just really wasn't a good spot. And the beautiful thing about the Youth Challenge Program is it's 100% voluntary. Cadets are not shipped off or sent to somewhere where they don't want to be. I know the conception about military school is vastly different than what the Youth Challenge actually epitomizes. But I made the decision when I was about 18 that I was down a bad path and that I wanted to be somebody and change my life, and I couldn't do that on the path that I was at. So I began to search for opportunities, and I found the Youth Challenge Program. It was kind of a godsend to me because I had nowhere else to go, and the Youth Challenge told me it's not going to be easy, it's going to be a challenge, but I accepted it. So when I was in challenge, you know, one of the greatest things was the camaraderie, the brotherhood of the cadets. And although it was very challenging, like I said, it's a youth challenge. It's not something to be joked about. They had a structure that really brought people together in a camaraderie sense, so that we would challenge each other to be the best people that we could be and to show each other there's a reason why we're all here. We all want to be better people. And the way that they run things is truly amazing. And I would honestly welcome any of you to tour the facility, check it out, see how they run stuff, and see why this program really should be funded. I'll fast forward a bit. What I'm doing now, I'm taking a hiatus off of school because of funding and being a low-income student. I need to work for a little while. Working at the Ringside Fish House. It's a swanky place in downtown Portland. I invite you guys.
In House District 36.
Just saying.
At the Domain, that's Domain City, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty nice place. So I invite any of you to come on in, and I'll gladly seat you. I'm one of the hosts there. So I'm working there currently, but since graduation from Youth Challenge, I really wanted to not only just be, you know, a better person, but I wanted to make sure that my story never happened to anybody else ever again, because it truly is a tragedy in the state of Oregon with education being how it is. So many people slip through the cracks, and I want to commend Carol Smith because I worked with her on the Reconnect to Your Future campaign. We've knocked on doors to every single high school dropout that's dropped off the list in the fall, every fall. So that's a great thing that they're doing. But there's a lot of districts that don't have the funding or the resources to do that. So I really made sure that the path that I'm on now is a path that not only just, you know, is somebody being a better person and a better citizen, but really advocating for programs and for people and being a mentor so that my story doesn't happen ever again. And that's pretty much all I have to say at this point. If you guys have any questions, please feel free.
Questions? Senator Bates.
I do have a question. After you're in the program for the first 2 weeks, there's a lot of people dropping out. But say in the third week, tell me about an average day in the third week of the program. What's it like? What time do you get up? What do you have to do? What's it like where you're sleeping? What? Give me a good description of the program from a student's point of view.
Lots of cupcakes, lots of hugs, and, you know, lots of fun, fluffy stuff. No.
So tell me where the challenge comes in again.
They hook us up with cupcakes, candy, anything we want. No. It's really tough, to be honest. It's a military style, but it's a challenge. But everybody comes together for that challenge. We wake up at 6 o'clock, like clockwork, every single morning. We go to, you know, the restrooms. We eat breakfast really quickly. And then we sit in the classroom for most of the day. And we, you know, structured the system so that you really don't have any time to goof off. You're not, you know, leaning over talking to your friend next to you. You really are challenging yourself to put your nose to the books. So that's a typical weekday. On the weekends, we do community service where we go out. Sometimes we're planting trees, thousands of trees, where forest fire previously ravaged the region. Other days we are, you know, volunteering at other community events. So holistically, the program is very structural so that the kid really has no downtime to just do stupid stuff. And it doesn't allow that. The structure is so perfect that it teaches you life skills. It teaches you how to iron a suit. That's one of the things I actually am kind of amazed at, is guys my age, most people my generation don't wear a suit. They see me wearing a suit downtown or wherever I'm at, and they're like, why is that guy wearing a suit? Because it's just generationally not a thing. And the Youth Challenge, that's one of the things that they do, is they teach you how to iron your stuff. They teach you how to be a respectful citizen. Everything down from life skills to academics they got. So, sorry for the long-winded.
No, I wanted to hear it. Sounds similar to boot camp. That's what I like about this program.
Senator Winters.
Oh, thank you. And I'm sorry that I'm late. But my question is, doing the difference between the traditional school that you were in, the public school, and a youth challenge. And can you tell us a little bit about your mentor?
Absolutely. My mentor through the Youth Challenge program, his name is Bruce Seiler. I actually saw him. He was one of the guys who recommended the Ringside Fish House to me. A couple weeks ago, I saw Bruce. It's coming on almost 5 years since I've been in the Youth Challenge program. And I'm still good friends with my mentor, Bruce. He recommended the job at the Ringside. I had never even heard of the Ringside until he mentioned it. So me and Bruce are very good friends. He still challenges me to this day. He's like, so are you on track? How is everything going? And I think the mentor program is truly something that's amazing.
Representative Krieger.
You know, I just heard his testimony. I just finished a book by Bill Lansing on the 3C camps, 1933 to 1942. It's almost duplicates exactly, and they emphasize education for young men out of these inner cities that were no jobs, who were getting to be criminals. If you ever get a chance to get his book on the 3 C's, it was, I couldn't hardly put it down. And he's a past executive of Menasha Corporation. He's written several books, but those, and he said planting trees, that's what they did. Did reforestation, road building, into remote areas of all of the United States. But there were tens of thousands of these young men that did that. And it looks like this is a similar type thing. And we need a place for men to, young boys to become men is what it amounts to.
And women.
And women.
And women.
Yes. I don't want young women to become men. No, I don't.
Well, you want them to become young ladies and women.
And by 3 C's, you mean the Civilian Conservation Corps? All right, Senator Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I won't let Senator Winters take all the credit. You know, I'm in District 53, which is where the OIA is located. Patrick, congratulations. Keep get back to school as soon as you can. I was going to ask about all the volunteer people that aren't familiar with the program. They have to do a lot of volunteer hours. That's part of their program. And talking about life skills, we need to put some of these life skills into our normal school system. Could you tell about the baby you have to look after?
Yes, absolutely. It's called the Baby Think It Over program. That's an interesting time and challenge. It's definitely interesting because a lot of people are narcoleptic in class the next day because it's a robotic baby. It really teaches people who may have children at home already in high school or are expecting a baby on the way when they get out, or anybody, you know, who just might possibly need to learn parenting skills. I don't remember exactly if it's random, how it's assigned, but a couple cadets get a robotic baby, and they actually have to take care of it 24/7 for a couple days. And, you know, a couple of the rack mates, excuse my lingo, but a couple of the bunk mates definitely didn't really appreciate it sometimes because some of the cadets might not take care of the baby in the correct way, and it would start crying in the middle of the night. But essentially, it's just a robotic baby, and it really simulates what it's like to be a parent. And I think that that's a great skill for anybody to have, even not in Youth Challenge, because my generation, I feel, lacks a lot of the same skills that, you know, generations before had at our age.
Patrick, I want to thank you. This senator has been wanting to put parenting skills inside of our high schools since 1999. And I want to thank you to say what its impact can have. You know, and I think it was Judge Thornton who encouraged me to introduce the bill in 99, and we did the same in 2001, and we got a pushback, a real tremendous pushback, didn't we, Doc Bates, from OEA. I still think, and you're just reinforcing the policy and the concept that we had back then, the value to young people with them being able to have that robotic baby in classroom and to learning from what it means to have a crying baby and all the other things that go along with it. So I thank you very much for, and I thank you, Rep, for having to ask the question so he could give the answer. And we didn't communicate earlier either.
So that wasn't staged at all?
No, it wasn't staged.
This no backroom deals, politics?
What a shame. The senator, she's not for him. Madam Chair, I think also this program that Patrick described also helps in family planning.
Any other questions or comments for Patrick? Thank you very much. You can go back to the audience, or you can sit next to Ralph.
Your choice.
I'm sure there's somebody on deck, so I'll, you know, vacate the seat.
All right.
I definitely appreciate the opportunity today, and thank you so much.
Good job.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Ralph Groner, and I work for Oregon AFSCME, Council 75. I'm here today to support the military department, especially as it relates to growth in general fund resources. Limited general fund growth for operation areas in the past biennia have caused some rather difficult, I won't use the word chaotic, difficult problems for the military. Our installation divisions, especially staff, by the way, they are members of my, and I'm speaking for those members, especially staff who are involved in the management of our facilities. Limiting staff has negative impacts on facility readiness, which may impact force structure and our ability to respond, and I want to say this quite loudly, to an emergency. And I have heard time and time again from my members that issue. Support for the emergency management division is also critical. Limited staffing impacts our ability to work with local partners on a full spectrum of emergency management related issues. And the last issue I'd like to comment is Youth Challenge. Had Youth Challenge been available when I was a young juvenile delinquent at Westland High School, as a matter of fact, my principal, Charlie, took me out and said, "You want a cigar?" My senior year. And he said, "Ralph, I got to get you out of here. So I'm going to give you a diploma." That's a true story. I was kind of a, I don't want a rabble rouser. So I immediately enlisted in the United States Air Force, which I also want to say was for me what the Youth Challenge was to this young man, because I was kind of an arrogant, wild kid, and I'm still partially that way. But I had a sergeant. A first sergeant. I was ready to quit the Air Force. I thought it was bugging me. And he called me in. And he said, "I'm going to be your mentor." And I said, "Well, they all have cars. He's rich." I was from a very low income, so even more lower income than you've heard others before. He said, I never get a car in here. He said, "I'll tell you what, I got a 52, whatever it was, Studebaker. Pay me back. a dollar a month or whatever until he got me to stay in the Air Force and mentored me. I finished 4 years of the Air Force, active duty, and what happened was I got what was called I got it 4 years paid for, GI Bill. I didn't even know that was available. What reminds me of this testimony was, in fact, if I could have gone to Youth Challenge when I was in high school without direction that I didn't have, gigantic family, all of us, some were running off, couple of them in jail. That's where I came from, Molalla kind of loggers, and all you did is know how to fight. If you think I'm kidding, it's a real world I lived in. So I want to say that the Youth Challenge program, when it first started, the folks who teach there, by the way, are my members, and I visited either the first year or second year. And I think you all care for Youth Challenge. The only thing I have to say is if we could expand those facilities to get more kids into it, we would, in fact, save the taxpayers one heck of a lot of money, because that program is proven to be nationally recognized, and it's a wonderful program. And I would hope we could consider, I know it takes money, and I know you have limited resources. I do, believe me, I know that. But I appreciate your support of our military and each of our divisions, and particularly the Youth Challenge. And I appreciate the opportunity to even be here today, to have grown up a little bit, and to say thank you very much for your support.
Any questions for Ralph?
Thank you.
Thank you for being honest about your past, Ralph.
Thanks,
I believe it, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that there are a few members on this dais who have similar stories. Patrick. And Patrick's the last person I have on my witness sheet, so if anybody else wants to come up after him, just let me know.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Patrick Singh. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. We're here to obviously support the work of the military department and their budget. We have the pleasure of having a number of our county affiliate groups work very closely with the military department in a various number of capacities through the Office of Emergency Management, our county emergency managers, our PSAP directors, are all involved with the 911 program. Also, our sheriffs, parole, probation, and juvenile directors are all integrated in that 911 communication system as well. So we always support adequate and stable funding for our 911 system and emergency communications. Wanted to thank you as the committee and the rest of the legislature for your work last session in including prepaid 911. To the system. That is something that will really help our 911 system. And we are very excited to support the department's work in moving us to next generation 911 technology and strengthening our 911 system as well. Just some personal experience. Some of you know I serve as a reserve police officer in Portland. So on a fairly regular basis, I get to experience our 911 system as a user, and I can tell you that the dispatchers and call takers that work for us as first responders are professional, they're hardworking, they have a very, very tough job sorting through the many calls and the demands that they have upon them, and sometimes even as officers, we still, and even in Portland where we have probably one of the more advanced systems, there's still a lot of technological challenges that come with either the radio system or the computer systems that come with that. So any work we can do to advance that for our public safety officers is very important. Many of you also know last year at through AOC, we held four public safety summits around the state in areas of distressed counties. And sheriffs, public safety holders, commissioners, all identified as one of our things that we can do to help not just those distressed counties, but all counties, is to continue to work on 911 funding and the 911 system. So that'll be something we'll continue to work on with you through this session and beyond. Also, in other areas of the military department, and with the Department of Veterans Affairs, which I know we're not here to talk about, but our county veteran service officers, the work that they do in helping military personnel return back from war and integrate back into society. That's obviously very important to the work that we do at the county level and the partnerships we have with the military department. So I just wanted to thank Colonel Stuckey and, of course, Mark Tennyson with the 911 program, Sean McCormick. We work very regularly with them and the other leadership at the military department and look forward to our continued work with them on behalf of the counties. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Bates.
Yeah, I'm a new member of this committee, so I'm just learning. I've been doing some reading. I was intrigued to find, apparently, that 911 funding that the state puts up is in some way matched with federal funds. But if you don't put the money up or you divert the money from 911, you put yourself in danger of losing some form of federal matching funds, and that apparently has happened in the past. I'd like to know what the situation is right now as far as where we're at with matching 911 funds. And have we lost money in the last biennium, or are we looking at potentially losing money in the next biennium because of past activities?
Good afternoon. For the record, Co-Chair Shields and Williamson. I'm Mark Tennyson with the Office of Emergency Management. I'm the director of the state 911 program at OEM. Senator Bates, to answer your question, I believe you're asking about jeopardizing funds potentially for 911 via sweeps that have taken place.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. In 2008, there is the Net 911 Improvement Act. It's a federal act, and it does allow funding via grants for federal 911 programs. However, if state funds are diverted, states are not eligible for that funding. And so there's been three sweeps over the course of time with 911 funds, and that has made Oregon ineligible for those funds over those times that those funds were swept.
Follow up. What's our position right now? When was the last time those funds were swept?
It was 2009, sir.
Does that follow up?
Mm-hmm.
Was that just for that biennium that we're ineligible, or are we still ineligible because of those sweeps?
We are not currently ineligible. It was for that biennium, yes. And also there's the ongoing interest sweeps that we used to get interest on the money that was in the 911 account, and we no longer are eligible for that. Or that's not also interest we're receiving anymore. So that depletes, that takes away from the potential fund on the 911 account as well.
Last follow-up, if I could.
Sure.
What's the likelihood of getting grants that would help us, say, going analog to digital? Are these very difficult grants to get, or are they more of a slam dunk if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and you can get grants to help with these kind of programs?
Co-Chair Shields and Williamson, Senator Bates, they're not a slam dunk, but we would have to go through the process and do it. So the opportunity is there to do that, albeit as stated before, that the sweeps do not take place.
I have one more question.
Sure, Senator.
Are you looking for and writing for grants? Are you attempting to get some?
Yes, Co-Chair Williamson and Shields and Senator Bates, we will be, when the opportunity is there, we will be doing that again, yes. Always looking for any funding possible for 911.
Okay. Makes me question some of our actions in the past. I remember doing some sweeps. There was never a discussion that in any way imperiled federal funds. That was not part of the discussion that I remember.
Not true.
And we did it to a very, very... great deal of trepidation. I wasn't sure we were doing the right thing. We swept the money to balance the budget. There was never a discussion, at least the level I was at, that was jeopardizing any kind of federal funds or interest. So it's something I think this committee may want to take a careful look at.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Ms. Madam Chair. Two questions, sir. Thank you for where does the interest go now that does not come back to the 911? And how much did we lose from the federal government in 2007 when we swept? And I spoke against that bill on the floor of the House because we knew we would lose the money.
Co-Chair Shields and Williamson, Rep. Wisnant, So for your first question, it was regarding the interest. Where does that go?
General fund.
I'll defer to Sean McCormick, but I believe it's general fund, correct?
Thank you.
Yes, general fund.
That's what I assume. Thank
right.
you, sir.
Right, yes. And the second question, your second question was about how much money have we lost because we weren't eligible for the federal funds?
Yes, sir.
I'm not positive, sir, but what we can do is pull up for you and get back to you if that's okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think it's important, as Senator Bates said, that we have that data so we know if we ever think about doing this again, how much we lost and think.
Yes, sir.
Do you follow up, Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. If you had that interest, what would that do, and should, you know, how do we look at that? Do we think the general fund needs it more than the 911 fund expansions, or that's hurting us in being able to create the new generation 911? Is that true? I guess we don't have much to us.
What Co-Chair Shields and Williamson rep, wasn't it? We can pull that impact for you and provide that back to you along with the federal funding that we're
no problem.
If that's okay.
I guess you want it for the whole committee, it's up to you.
Yeah, I'd like it for the whole committee.
Sure.
And you can either present it in email form or at the follow-up stage 2 presentation that you all make.
All right. Sure, be glad to.
Other questions? I have one. Do you have any sense of how the how, when, and if the prepaid cell phone tax will be helpful to the 911 fund? We finally got that done last session.
Co-Chair Williamson, Co-Chair Shields, and the committee members, we don't. We've been collecting the tax beginning January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Our office will have some figures. It probably won't be until second quarter.
Okay.
We don't have any figures yet from the Department of Revenue as to what those figures look like. We're of course, optimistic and anxious as well to see what those figures look like.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Representative Gorsuch.
Just going back to the 911 fund for a minute and the sweeps. Is there any way, and I'll just show my naivete about how this works, is there any way to put into statute something that would say that you couldn't sweep those funds?
There's this great word called notwithstanding.
Yeah.
All right.
And there's a word called constitutional.
I was going to say, yeah. Even when we're not supposed to sweep, we do.
Okay.
Co-chairs and members of the committee, Rep. Gorsuch, there is Senate Bill 432 mm-hmm. that Senator Alan Olson has brought forward. And actually, the first the hearing will be next Tuesday on the 17th.
Okay.
Thank you. But in practical matters, that with not standing is in play. But when you bring the data back, would you also actually add with the passage of the latest 911 bill that we were able to get through last session that increased, that 75 cents per, what effect that also has on this whole conversation and not just the previous conversation? So that would be helpful if your report includes that as well.
Yes, Senator Winters, we'd like to add that as well.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Gilbert, is there anything we're missing for today? We are not going to hear the governor's budget overview from DAS because Art is sick. So we will hear that Monday.
We will hear that Monday, first thing, for a few minutes. And then the Department of Public Safety standards and training will be before you on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, I will adjourn our meeting. The good of the order? If not, I will adjourn our meeting. Anything else?